When I take the talks, they go up on a podcast from New York Dharma Punks, but I don't take the shares. So when Noah was here on Tuesday, he talked a bit about turning to face suffering and opening ourselves to the suffering that's going on in life, in our lives. And it's an important point because the natural human instinct is to avoid how much stress is really happening in life and to not notice how uncomfortable we are at times. In a way, the amount of our own stress that we're often aware of is like the tip of the iceberg. Most of us are aware when there's some external drama going on that we're worried about, whether it's paying the rent or somebody horrible at our jobs or a roommate or something like that. We're aware of the worry, the obsessive, repetitive thoughts that fill the mind. And other times we're aware of when we're in a bad mood, when we're uninspired or we're angry or when we're upset or just feeling down and depressed. But this is not the end. That list is by no means the sum of the stresses that are generally occurring in life when we're unaware. There is, first of all, often when we start to meditate, the first thing we become aware of is just how much tension we've been carrying around with us in our body. Sometimes we'll close our eyes and bring our awareness within, and we'll immediately notice that the stomach is really tight or the chest feels really constricted or there's a knot in the throat or the shoulders are really tucked up towards the ears. And this is something that we're carrying around with us all the time. It's an emotionally held, the body's holding emotion. It's holding this sense of trying to get through life, trying to rush through and push through and get to some place and time where we feel we can give ourselves permission to relax. It's sort of funny if you go in the subways in the winter, there's almost invariably some advertisement that shows what looks like a Bahamas beach, and the ad almost always says something like, "Now you can relax." The idea being that letting go and becoming peaceful is something that's dependent on going somewhere and being away from life and being away from everything. And it's only then that we can truly let go. Of course, that's not true. But so much of that sense of peace that we get when we go to a beach or when we go to some place that we really like where we feel good is just we're giving the body unconscious permission to relax. We just don't notice generally how much when we're at work or when we're in our lives, just how much tension we're carrying around. Additionally, one of my teachers says that there's a lot of just unawareness on how we're breathing. A lot of the time when we're caught up in the dramas of life and work, we're not even aware of just how tight and shallow and unnecessarily rapid our breath is. And that too develops this underlying sense of there's something going on that we can't relax. There's this underlying physical and just feeling of unconscious discomfort in both the breath and the body that keeps us slightly feeling that there's something missing, there's something that won't allow us to relax. And then on top of that, there's often an unawareness of just how repetitive our thoughts can be. It can seem very natural to worry a lot about things. We're told that we should worry about our economic future, we should worry about, you know, what people are thinking about us. Facebook and social media encourages this almost constant anxiety of whether somebody's trying to contact us, or if there's something going on, an event or a party that I should know of. So there's this constant mental jumping around, looking for something to focus on. And this mental jumping around is actually, if you look at what it does to the brain, it causes so much, again, releases cortisol, stress. And then on top of that, there's just this additional moods that we can be in that we're not even aware of, where we suddenly find ourselves snapping or saying something that we regret, and we're not even aware until we get to that point where we've done something that we regret or said something that we regret, that we were already in this mind that felt that other people are in our way, and that life is something just to get through. And why don't people see how much they're, how much is on my plate and all that. So there's this underlying agitation too. In a sense, the Buddha sort of suggested that all of us in our own way are like addicts. If you look at the famous model of the alcoholic, or the drug addict who's unaware of how much, how truly difficult his life has become. It isn't, because it's been such a gradual, slow decline, he no longer sees that waking up and having to fix and cop and get money and find a dealer and get over on people and keep up with dramas. He doesn't realize how much stress there is in his lifestyle because he's just so gradually gone into it. And then on top of that, the addict doesn't realize how much he's, by his present fixations and addictions, he's creating a future that's going to be stressful. Because all of the things we think about and focus and how we use our mind right now creates in the future mind states. You just can't suddenly jump into a different mind. It's neuroscientist says, the neurons that fire together, wire together. How we use our mind today creates the mind we're going to wake up in next week and in the future. If we're worried and or we're attached to adrenaline, or if we're constantly worried about our reputations, that's the mind we're going to be in largely in the future. So, and I think the addict also doesn't realize just two other things. How much of the misery in his life is actually caused by the addiction, and B, an addict doesn't see that there's another way of living, that there is an alternative. Now, all of us in our own ways have our own things that we attach to try to find lasting safety and security and a sense of purpose and identity. And a lot of these things that we attach to, rather than bringing us peace, they're actually bringing us more frustration. We don't see it, but they very often are. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do a good job at work and to be productive in our arts, to be loving in our relationships, to be someone who shows up for our families and our friends. But when we attach, as the Buddha said, to these things as if they're going to give us the true purpose in our lives and real lasting security, then what happens is we experience an enormous amount of stress. A, because jobs, relationships, families, everything external is subject to change beyond our control. And as we grow older, no matter what job or career or relationship or whatever we've built up in the world, a lot of it is going to go away. No matter what job, no matter what, you know, relationship we have, there's going to be degrees of separation or degrees of loss of control. That's just the nature of life. There's no way you can control anyone else. There's no way we can control and have, I'm sure Madonna thought she would have unending hits forever, but even that comes to an end, thank heavens. Maybe too that will happen with Lady Gaga. And I'm sure Steve Jobs, the guy who made billions of dollars with Apple and was founding Pixar, thought that, wow, I've got it made. I've started two of the hugest, most profitable companies in, certainly in this country and if not the world. And right when he reached the peak of the success, he got pancreatic cancer. And I'm sure that he would trade all of that success that he had with Apple and Pixar if he didn't have pancreatic cancer. So none of this, that the stuff that we attach to, while it's all worthwhile, none of it is going to be the lasting solution to why we're here and how we can find lasting peace and that sense of identity. And yet we grab onto it so tightly, the more it starts to change beyond our control. And so the Buddha, in his teaching on right attention, he said basically when we meditate, it's an opportunity to let go for a moment of these things that we've been so leaving our fingernail marks in, to let go of the grasp that we have on our careers or on our relationships or on whatever it is that we've been thinking about repetitively, to give it the mind a chance to detach from this fierce identification with these external dramas, and to for a second just see, when we let go, first of all, just what happens. Very often when we give ourselves permission to surrender and say, you know what, I give up. If I get fired, if I can't pay the rent, if I don't get that relationship I want, if I don't get that part I want, if I don't become a best-selling author or whatever, I can still embrace life. And by letting go, I can see just how much this story has been creating this attachment and this clinging is uncomfortable, let's put it that way. Really, really, really wanting something to happen, what the Buddha called craving or tanha or desire, really, really, really wanting something external to happen is a form of suffering. But we don't see it until we first, just for a moment, detach from this entire, amazement with the world and just see what's going on first inside. See how it makes the mind uncomfortable, how it makes the body tight, how it makes the breath shallow, how it makes the thoughts so, so difficult to let go of, and how we're so tempted to think about, for example, work when we're not at work, or relationships when we're not with that person, or we think about our family when we're not with our family, or we think about, that's attachment. When we're thinking about something when we're not there and when it's not useful. So, the Buddha said, see what happens when we let go. See what happens when, watch what happens when we start thinking about it again and we start seeing what happens in the to the body, what these thoughts do to us. And then see if we can figure out a way to let go. Yoniso Manasikara. It means to use meditation to not only see suffering and develop peace within, but to see what ways we can use our thoughts skillfully. Meditation is not just a time when we practice letting go of thoughts. It can be a time where we practice replacing the thoughts that cause us stress and suffering, like what do people think about me at work? What's going to happen with this project I'm working on? Why doesn't this roommate do what I want them to do, etc.? And replace it with thoughts that almost invariably bring peace, like appreciating something skillful that we've done, or appreciating something skillful somebody's done for us. Think about opportunities we can, or feel good about some time where we could have done something horrible and we didn't. The Buddha talked about appreciation of just acting skillfully. Think about gratitude for all the things we have and bring awareness to all of the things that people do to make our lives easier that we're unaware of. Just one example, when we eat, that food didn't just jump from the ground onto our plates. Somebody picked that food. Generally, somebody's not making a lot of money. Somebody drove that food to us. Somebody, you know, stocked it. Somebody maybe at a restaurant brought it to us. Somebody maybe cooked it for us. This kind of appreciation can make all the things that we develop our stress over seem much less important. So anyway, I thought I would just use tonight's talk to talk about how to look at stress, what Noah was talking about, how to look at the stress and suffering in life, and just see now it's your turn to talk about anything that you think that you've been worrying about or getting worked up over, and maybe what it would be like if we let it go for a little while, or the struggles of letting go of stuff when we can and when we can't. What things really bait us, and what things we find easy to relinquish. So I'm going to turn this off.